Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Anchor Church podcast. It is our desire at the Anchor to provide a place for you to know God, find freedom, discover your God-given purpose, and ultimately make a difference in the world around you. Each week, the Anchor podcast features Sunday sermons. You can follow along in this podcast episode and read the sermon notes on our website by visiting theanchor.me. Now, let's get into the Word.
Y'all doing all right? Good morning. It is good to see you guys. If you're visiting with us, we're so grateful that you chose to come hang out with us today. So, you know, however you got here, if you're local or if you're from somewhere else, man, we're just super excited that you're here. We believe that anytime we come into the presence of God, we have a great opportunity to hear from Him and experience Him. And when we encounter Him, man, we change. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into today's message. So, Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you that your presence is here. Father, we believe that you have some significant things that you desire to tell us today. Father, we believe, just as we sung earlier, God, that you've won the victory. But, Lord, you also desire for us to walk in the victory. And so, Lord, we just simply ask, God, that your victory would come to every single person in this room, God, that we would walk in the freedom that Jesus paid the price for. And so, Lord, any hindrances that are standing in the way today, we simply ask that you would remove them. Lord, we choose to lean into you and to listen to your heart and to listen to your truth and to listen to your message. And, Lord, we do believe today, God, that our hearts are good soil and that it'll produce the life change that we need. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do best, and that's to lead us to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, last Sunday, I shared a message that I believe every person in the room could relate to because that message was about fear. And the reason it's so relatable is because, like I'm sure all of us have noticed, man, fear has been on the rise in our country, you know, over the past few years. And now that shouldn't surprise any of us because anytime we turn on any source of news feed, right, it's constantly filled with stories of war, stories of terrorist attacks, stories of natural disasters, random acts of violence, right? We see political upheaval and division all the time. Financial instability is talked about a lot. We know that there's loads of issues happening at the border. And we also, you know, it's kind of like almost periodically, you know, there's this warning of global sickness and global death that's right around the corner. It's coming, right? And so when you kind of, you know, have a steady diet of all that, it's no wonder that, you know, we're having record-breaking numbers of people who are experiencing anxiety and depression as we speak. And so, you know, in addition to all that, if we can kind of bring in, you know, other fears that people are struggling with that are more common, like the ones we talked about last week, I want to take a second and mention them again, just in case anybody's visiting, they can connect with it. But we know it's not unusual for people to fear things like being alone, you know, fear being abandoned or fear of not being in control or fear of surrender or commitment or fear of change. You know, a fear of not having enough money. How about the fear of rejection, right? The fear of not measuring up or the fear of failure or the fear of death or the fear of losing someone we love. And then these last two are really ones that you see in the church a lot is people who fear that they're not ever going to know God's purpose for their lives. And then there's people who are just scared that they're going to miss the will of God because they're so scared of missing the will of God, they don't ever do anything. Right. So as I mentioned last week, all of those fears really boil down to a single word. It's the unknowns of our life. Right. It's because we don't know or we can't control what's going to happen in our future or in a particular circumstance or with a certain person. We begin to experience this strong emotion called fear. Now, you may be sitting here today and you may be able to, you know, name your fear. You may be able to put language to it or maybe not. But I guarantee this, even if you can't, you still have to admit somewhere down deep inside that you can feel fear at certain times in your life. If you agree with that, say, oh, yeah. So, in fact, I'm sure that we wouldn't be too hard-pressed. Like if I said, okay, you know, stand up and tell us about a difficult time where emotion, you know, whatever, took hold of you. And before you knew it, you know, you said something or did something that was really out of character of who you are and who you know God's called you to be. I'm sure most of us in this room wouldn't have a hard time giving an example of that. You know, it's so wild what happens to us. And I'll say this and we'll move on. It's like this. It's like fear hits us, right? As we talked about last week, that prefrontal cortex of our brain, we flip our lid. And at that moment, we start imagining the worst what if, you know, scenario outcome that we could ever imagine. Anybody ever done that? right? And when that happens, you and I naturally go into this self-protective mode, and we instantly become, you know, in an attempt to protect ourselves, we become irrational in our behavior. And really what I'm getting at is simply this, like, have you ever noticed that, you know, fear causes us to do some really weird things? Like, fear will make you weird, right? So let me give you a biblical example of this, and we'll scoot, but to kind of give you the backstory of what we're about to read out of 1 Samuel, we know that there, you know, obviously a young man named David. David spent years serving King Saul. Over time, Saul began to grow really jealous of David, so much so that instead of, you know, extending the favor that he extended to him year after year after year, he finally decided, you know, nah, I'm done. I'm so jealous of this guy. He's a threat to me, so I'm going to kill him instead. And when news of that got to David, David did what most people would do. He ran for his life, right? And so, but he didn't just run anywhere. He irrationally, with his lid flip, chose to run straight to the Philistine city of Gath. Now, you know, you're probably like, okay, what's the big deal about Gath? Gath is actually the hometown of Goliath. It's where Goliath grew up. And so to think about it, y'all do know who killed Goliath, right? It was a guy named David. So basically, here's this champion warrior, the guy that everybody celebrated, and the guy that took him out showed up at the front doorstep. How do you think that's going to go, right? Anyways, so my point is David went to the worst place he could have ever picked. He went literally from one man trying to kill him right into a city where everybody else wanted to kill him. So let's pick up the story and see what happened. Here we go, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. It says, then David arose and fled from Saul that day and went to Achish, king of Gath. It says, the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Like, is this not our sworn enemy, right? Did they not sing in praise of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Like, y'all do remember that's the song that they sang when Goliath was dead with his head removed, right? So they're remembering that. And then it says in verse 12, it says, David took these words to heart and was greatly afraid. In other words, they know who I am. So he was greatly afraid of Achish, king of Gath. Verse 13, key verse, says, so fearing for his life, he did what? He changed his behavior in their sight and acted insanely. In other words, he got weird, okay? He says, in their hands, and he scribbled or he scratched at the doors of the gate and drooled down his beard. It says, then Achish said to his servants, look, you see this man? He's insane. Why have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen? In other words, is there not enough crazy people around here that you think you need to bring me another one, right? And then it says, shall this man come into my house and be my guest? Now, here's the point I want to make to you, kind of a strange story. And I know most people go, wow, David really thought on his feet. Wow, he was so adaptable. Okay, good, maybe. So, but here's what I want to say is that, and I'm not insinuating, to be clear, that fear has caused any of us to act quite like that. Like, hopefully nobody's drooling on themselves and you're scratching at the wall, none of that stuff. Anyways, but what I'm saying is this, is that the emotion of fear can cause us, like David, to not only change our behavior, but more importantly, to change the way we live our lives. See, with that in mind, it's like, have we ever stopped? Because the truth is, every one of us have changed something about us because the fear has hit us at one point. Y'all agree with that? But when that happens, like, have we ever stopped to ask ourselves, like, who would want us to change our behavior like that? Who would want us to get weird? Right? Like, I'll give you a hint. It's not your spouse. Right? It's not your best friend. Right? It's not the coworker or the teacher. It's because it's not the people that we tend to blame. Right? Like, that's not who's inviting you to be weird. And so what I want us to see is it's the devil that's trying to get you to act like that. Right? And so when you look at this, you know, we actually know that the Greek word for fear is where we get our English word phobia, right? And it means this. It means that which causes flight, that which causes us to want to run away, that which causes us to want to flee or to escape. And so if we realize or not, like the number one goal of the enemy when he comes and puts thoughts of fear in your mind, it's because he has tried to get you to run away from relationships that God has placed in your life. He's trying to get you to run away from spiritual growth opportunities. He's trying to get you to run away from his destiny and his plan that God has given you for your life. He wants you to run from that so you don't ever become who God's called you to be. So let me just say this before we get too ahead of ourselves. I want to make a few comments, kind of give you, it's really just a simple train of thought, some things I think we need to lock into our heads and lock into our hearts. So first thing is this, is the type of fear that you and I feel and we experience, man, it's real. Like it's real, right? Like it's not pretend, it's real. And secondly, it's from the devil. God didn't give it to you, it's of the devil. The next thing is that if you notice that every fear that you and I face and that we struggle with, man, it's always a lie. It's always a lie. Like I'm sure you've heard this before, but the word, you know, fear, they say it stands for false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. The devil tries to come and sell you a lie, and he blinds you from the truth, and he tries to get you to believe that that thing that you're facing, that that's really happening to you. And it's usually centered around, fear is usually centered around an issue that's being blown out of proportion. What I mean by that is the devil loves to come along and to magnify something and make it bigger than what it really is. The next thing is that the enemy would love to try to convince you that you're alone. Like you're the only one struggling with that. Like, have you ever faced something and you're like, man, I can't tell anybody? Like, and you feel shame and you feel guilt because of what you're wrestling with. And so you just kind of keep it to yourself. And that's really how he keeps you trapped. But, you know, I just want to remind everyone, like, if you were here last week, did you remember when I said, okay, let's look at that list of fears. Okay, you know, wave your hand at me if you've struggled with one of them. Every single hand went up in the room. So to think that, you know, you are the only one, man, that's a lie. It's a lie. It's how he keeps us bound. The next thing is this, and I want to say this to people who have maybe been in the church and they've been told this, but man, the answer to our fear isn't just to suck it up and get over it. Right? Like that's not how freedom works. So the truth is that fear has to be displaced. Keyword, it has to be displaced by something greater, and that something greater is a word called faith. Right, and that's where God comes in the picture, that you and I understand that God created us in his image, and he created us in a way that he wanted us to actually live free. He didn't want us to be bound by lust. He didn't want us to be bound by anger. He didn't want us to be bound by fear. He wants us to be free people. That's why Jesus came, right? And so to understand that he desires to help us overcome whatever fear that we are facing in this room today. All right, so if you and I are going to do this, I think there's a few things that we need to do. The first one is this. We want to overcome fear. It's the first one. Number one, we have to actually admit that we're afraid. We got to admit it. See, King David wrote Psalm 56:3, and he said these words. He said, when I am afraid. He didn't say, I've never been afraid. He didn't say, if I ever become afraid. He didn't say, I might be afraid. No, he said, when I am afraid. Now, I find that personally super encouraging, and here's why. Because David was a bad dude. Right? Like David, yeah, he could sit on the hillside with his harp, and he could sing a tune. You know, he could do his, he had a soft side. But put a sword in that man's hand and game on. Right? Like that dude, they didn't see David killed his 10,000s because he was some weak man, right? But yet here's this guy, man, that he is like, okay, I have no issues admitting that I'm experiencing fear. In fact, if you go to read, you know, the book of Psalms, you'll find again and again and again, this man's man, if there's ever been a man's man, writing down, I am scared out of my mind. I'm running for my life. I'm afraid. God protect me, right? You see it again and again and again. So here's what's so wild. You know, bring that to the modern day church. I think it's kind of crazy, you know, how many people I've met over the years who act like, you know, to admit that you are afraid is either weak or it's unspiritual. Like, we don't do that, bless God, right? We're overcomers. Like we're not allowed to say that we're afraid, right? And I just want you to know, man, that couldn't be any further from the truth. Like, in my opinion, it takes real spiritual strength to have the kind of self-awareness to go, hey, I see it, and now I can actually admit it because I want to get free. You know, the only thing I know how to liken it to is this, is if you take an addict, like for an addict to get freedom, right, to get deliverance, they first have to admit that they have an addiction. It's the exact same thing. If they keep that hid, then they stay bound. Same thing, man. If you and I want to get free of fear, we got to say, look, I'm afraid, and I'm afraid of that, right? The second step to overcoming fear is this, is we got to actually admit the emotion of fear that we're feeling. It's a symptom of a deeper issue. You know, the emotions we typically identify as fear, here's what I'm saying, that's not the problem. You understand that when that brain flips, that's not the problem. All that, when that thing flips, all it is like the warning lights going off on the dashboard of your car or the dashboard of your truck. That light is that we're looking at isn't the problem. It's an indicator that there's a deeper problem under the hood. And what I'm trying to say is when that brain flips, I'm saying that there's a deeper problem in your mind and in your heart. Amen. I'm saying that from experience, right? And so remember what we said last week, where there is fruit, there is always a root. And so if you and I live a life where we're just trying to fix the reactions, like I blew up again, I said something stupid again, I responded crazy and got weird again. Like if we just tried to deal with those things, guess what? It's going to be like pulling weeds and watching them grow back the next week. Like if we, you know, quit picking the fruit, man, you got to go to the root. Amen? Amen. All right, this is why it's so important when we're talking about not basically getting fixed on just the emotion of it, but actually going to the heart of it. That's where we go, okay, Lord, I need you to shine your light on this. Right? Like he is the light. And so often, man, our fears, man, the only way I say it is like they get murky. They hide in the dark. Right? They stay in the dark. But if we want those things to come to the forefront and be dealt with, Jesus, come shine your light on this. Right? And when we do that, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and actually begin to show us why we are afraid. Like, why am I afraid of change? Why does that scare me so bad? Why am I afraid of rejection? But why do I act that way when I invite 10 people over and 3 people don't show up and I go in a hole? Am I making sense? So it's like to ask him to show us like okay, Lord, obviously I've been walking with you these many years. Show me the patterns that are in my life. Like show me why this thing pops up and why it pops up and what's the trigger, right? Like what's the story behind it? When did it start? Like can you tell me the why so we can actually get this thing by the roots and get it out? You know, when it comes to all our fears, at some point we have to turn our heads and our hearts. We got to turn to God and say, God, I realize you're the only one's got the answer. You're the only one that can uproot it. The third step is this. We want to overcome fear. And once again, this doesn't sound churchy, but this is true, is we have to actually choose faith over fear. We got to choose faith over fear. There's this man named Bob Proctor. He said this years ago. He said, faith and fear both demand you believe in something you cannot see. You choose. All right, Bob. Right? In other words, what he's saying, the choice is ours to make. And so, you know, on that note, the only thing I know how to correlate that to is my wife has said for years and years and years and years, she says it takes just as much faith to believe a lie as it does to believe the truth. If you want to expend all your energy in believing something, why not believe the truth instead of that lie? Right? And so this means that if we're going to put our faith, God's people, if we're going to put our faith in something, it might as well be the truth. You know, another thing that Jen has said to me several times, and listen, married men in here, you know, sometimes you don't like it when your wife tells you something, you know she's right. Listen, there's been a few times where we have been in the kitchen and I have been letting that story that I've written in my head about a situation start coming out my mouth. Like my thoughts, I start speaking them. And Jenna simply said this. She'll listen for a second and then she'll say this. She'll say, you know, if you're gonna write a story, why don't you write a good one? I'll call you for moral support next time. But man, isn't that true? Like, have you ever noticed that when we go to write the story, we rarely write a good one? So once again, if we're going to put our faith in something, man, we might as well put it in the truth, because it's the truth. That's the only thing that can displace the lie that would ultimately set us free. Amen. All right, so what I want to do is I want to do this, kind of with all that in mind. I'm going to shift gears one more time, and I actually want to look at a verse that, in my opinion, is the key that holds the freedom that we long for, okay? It's a verse that everybody in this room, you know, has heard. Most of us can probably quote it, And here's the danger sometimes when we get so used to a verse. We quote it so much and say it so much, it loses its power. Right? And so I just want to remind you of something that the Apostle Paul said, and we're going to break it down, okay? And let me just say it to you this way. There's a lot more here than what I can get into today. I believe that Jesus probably wants to talk to every single one of us in a really personal way through the scripture, but we got to make room so he can do that by ourselves. So I'm going to give you some thoughts maybe that will, I don't know, lead you in a certain direction or whatever, but just kind of encourage you to go spend time with the Lord. So the verse is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, to understand what or why Paul wrote this letter to Timothy was because this. It's because the early church was going through a really, really, really difficult time. Like, I can't overstate that enough. The reason was because there was this man named Nero. He was ruthlessly hunting down and persecuting and killing believers everywhere. I mean, he was basically having bloodbaths and making their deaths a show for people. It was just gruesome and nasty, okay? I'll just stop there. But what happened was, is here you got this young man. He's pastoring the church of Ephesus. His friends are being hunted down and killed. And as you would expect, he begins to struggle with fear, like, am I next? And so from that position, Paul, his spiritual father, wrote him this letter. And in the seventh verse, here's what he told him. He said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." I'm trying to remind him. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Church, listen, that tells us right there that fear is a spirit. Okay, once again, it's not your husband, it's not your wife, right? It's not somebody you know, man. It's a spirit that you're contending with, right? So God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's not from him. But here's what he has given you. He has given you power and of love and of a sound mind. So what he was trying to remind Timothy of is this. He's saying, look, man, if you want to live free from the spirit of fear, if you want to live in a way where you're not afraid of Nero, then, man, I'm encouraging you to take hold of the power, the love, and the sound mind that Jesus made available to you, that he gave you access to through his death, burial, and resurrection. All right. So, listen, if that goes for him all those years ago, why wouldn't it still be true for us today? It is true. Right? So God is speaking to us as clearly today as he was speaking to Timothy all those years ago. So let's look at what these words mean. Here we go, the word power. So as we mentioned last week, in the same way faith has a voice, we know fear does as well, right? And so the voice of faith always speaks truth because it's of God, whereas the voice of fear always speaks lies because it's of the devil. Now, this is key. Listen to this verse. We know it's a lie and it's of the devil because what Jesus said in John 8:44, he said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. And then it says, when he lies, okay, when he speaks, man, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truth. In other words, that dude knows how to twist God's word and make it perverted and distorted, right? So now when we come and we actually apply what Jesus is saying to the topic of fear, like, we understand that one of the ways the enemy always lies to us is he always lies to us about the size of the thing that we are afraid of. Once again, he tries to magnify that fear. And the reason he magnifies is because he wants us to be intimidated by it. He wants us to be scared of it. And he wants us to think, man, that thing is so big, we become paralyzed by what we feel. Once again, and we don't move forward in who God's called us to be. Now, we see an example of this. We actually read it last week in Numbers 13. Let's look at it again. It says, "But the men who had gone up said," remember, this is the spies that went to spy out the promised land, "they said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger and more powerful than we.'" It says, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" Sounds scary, doesn't it? It says, "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." This is, "There we saw the giants, and they were so big, we were like grasshoppers." Now, here's what I want to notice, right? Once again, I know we listened to that verse last week, but notice where all of their focus was at. It was on the size of the thing that they were scared of. Every single thing we saw was massive. I don't know how you think, but my mind goes, did you see a four-year-old in the mix? You know, whatever, right? Like, everything they saw was just massive, right? And they were just so scared of it. And I just think this, like, guys, if we only focus, you know, on our fears, then we'll not only convince ourselves that we are as helpless as grasshoppers and weak as grasshoppers, but more importantly, we're going to fail to remember the size of our God. See, and that was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies. Two of them, their focus was on, no, we serve a big God. He is able. And the other one's like, nope, we can't. We can't do this because they're so big. And so, that was their mistake. And so, to me, this is why it's so important that we actually heed the words what King David wrote. They actually told us to lift our eyes to the one who is the maker of heaven and earth. You understand that? Lift our eyes. In other words, look past the thing that you're so focused on, the fear. Look beyond that and look to the God of the heavens, right? Because when we do that, here's what happens. When we can do that, we quickly discover that every giant, that every fear looks smaller in the presence of our God. Now, how do we do this? Let me give you something super practical here. The first thing is this, is we got to understand that nobody in this room, like we all have fears. But nobody in this room can conquer the fear that you feel. Like, do you understand that? That you are incapable of conquering the fear that's in your life. Everybody listening, he's like, oh, I don't know about that. If you could, it would already happened. Right? Like, that thing's been lingering 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Same old fear hanging around. And if you had the ability to beat it, man, you already would, right? And so we have to come to a spot and go, man, I can't conquer this fear that I'm struggling with. And it's the knowledge of that brings us to this amazing word that we say a lot, but it's a kingdom word. It's called surrender, right? And it's where from my automatic response from position of surrender is to tell God, I can't, but you can. God, I desperately need you in this moment. Lord, I don't understand in my own ability how you can overcome this fear in my life, but I just know you can, and I believe you can conquer anything that I'm afraid of. You see, I think it was the knowledge of that position of surrender, that position that God is bigger than us is what allowed David to write these three verses. Let me show you this again. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. He said, when I'm afraid, what do I do? I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, not the word and the voice of fear, but in the voice of faith, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. And it says, what can flesh do to me? All these people that are trying to kill me, all these things I'm scared of, man, they can't because you're with me. Then says Psalm 16:8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. I have fixed my eyes on him because he is at my right hand and I shall not be shaken. What's he saying is I'm choosing to look to God and not to look to the issue that I'm scared to death of, right? And then Psalm 73:26, he says this, and I believe all of us can relate to this. My flesh and my heart fail. Like I'm scared to death, but there's a key word, but. But God is the strength. That word strength means rock. He is the rock of my heart forever. Amen. Amen. So what David is describing here is this. He's describing a three-phased attack against fear. Okay, I know I say this a lot once again, but what's the three-phase attack? It's this. It's prayer. It's worship. And it's the declaration of God's word. Like we can't ever lose those. Right? It's those three things that release the power of Jesus into our lives. And not only does it release the power of Jesus in our life, but it also resizes the giants and the fear that we're so afraid of. And the reason it resizes that is this. If I can just kind of paint a picture for you. In first service, I pulled three people out. I won't do it right now. But the first guy I pulled out, he's a little fella. He's about like this big. And so I'm like, okay, he represents us. And then the fear comes along and it was another guy. And he was quite a bit bigger than that other guy. And whew, he looks big, right? And there's this spot where we understand that when we begin to stop focusing on that, but we lift our eyes to the maker of heaven and earth. In other words, we begin to worship God. When we begin to praise God with our mouth, right? We actually begin to do that, right? And we actually begin to declare the word of God and we begin to pray prayers of faith. What happens is the Bible says if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And so what happens is God begins to come in the picture that I have in my mind. He stands in between us and the thing we're facing. And you know, to quote the guy in the first service, he literally said, "Where did that guy go?" Because the guy that came that was representing God, I don't know, he's like 6'5", 6'6", big old dude. He just made the other guy disappear. Okay? And so the point is simply this, is that, man, fear looks pretty small when God shows up. Right? And so please understand this. So when I'm saying all this, is I'm not saying that what you're facing isn't a big deal, because it's a big deal. It's a big deal to you. It's a big deal to me, the things I wrestle with. But what I'm hoping that we remember is this, is that the things that we are afraid of, man, they aren't bigger and they aren't more powerful than Jesus is. Second thing Jesus gave us access to was love. I want to make something really clear before we dive in this. When you hear the word love, I don't know what goes to your mind, but I'm not talking about an ooey-gooey feeling or ooey-gooey emotion, okay? The word here is agape, and agape comes from one place, God, right? And so let me give you a verse to kind of connect this with. 1 John 4:16-18, it says this, verse 16. Says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." Man, I'm convinced that if we would just get that single verse in us, it would fix so many of our problems. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. That we believe, man, I'm loved, yep. Right? And then it says these three words that we got to understand today. God is love. It doesn't say that he has love. It says he is love. It's not some emotion. It's not some desire. It is who he is. It's the very essence of his being, right? He defines love. And then it says this, whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And then it says, verse 18, some key parts here to what we're talking about. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's God, cast out fear. In other words, when we worship, he shows up, he will literally grab fear and sling it out the window. Have you ever seen the movie or the show Fresh Prince? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Y'all remember when DJ Jazzy Jeff, woo, taking it back. Y'all remember when Uncle Phil went, that's what he does to fear. Right there, here's your mental picture for today. That's free, I didn't say in any other service. There we go. I'm reliving my childhood. All right, so listen, in light of what we read, what I'm saying is this, is that the solution to our fear, despite what our culture may tell you, man, it doesn't come from some 3-step, 4-step, 5-step self-help program. Like the solution and the freedom from fear can only be found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that truth is reflecting these verses. I'm saying these verses today because these are verses that I have continually over the years when I'm recognizing fear in my life. These are not only do I worship, not only do I praise, but these are verses that I'll begin to declare over my own life. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "Have I not commanded you?" So I'd make that personal. He's not talking to Joshua at the moment. He's talking to me. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid." Why? "For the Lord your God is" what? Come on, let's say it like we mean it. He's what? He's with you, right? "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There's nowhere that you can go that he's not willing to go with you. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that actually means a shadow of darkness. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I feel like fear has gripped me so much, I've been in that valley, right? And then he says this, he says, "I will fear no evil." Why? Once again, "For you are with me." And then probably my favorite one, Isaiah 41 verse 10. This is actually the verse that God used to break a whole bunch of junk off my life. It says, "Do not fear." Once again, why? "For I am with you." If you keep reading, it says, "Do not be dismayed because I am your God." He says, "I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And you start to understand because God is with me, he's holding on to me, and that's a really safe, secure place. Amen? Everything around me may not feel safe, but I'm safe when I'm with him. Yes. Amen. All right. So you know, when you take a step back and you look at the context of those verses, you understand that they're kind of speaking to this, is that you and I don't know what's in the future, right? But the overarching point is, even though we don't know what's up there, you and I don't need to worry. And the reason we don't need to worry about what's ahead is because you and I have the one who is love. He's a loving Father, and he is with us, and he is willing to give us the courage that we will need whenever we get to that point to overcome anything we face. Like, he knows how to give us what we need exactly when we need it. Good news, right? So what I want to do real quick is I actually want to share a story with you out of Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. I know I've mentioned that book a lot, but she tells a story about when she was a little girl that I believe shows this truth like perfectly, okay? So I'm going to read it. If you can, just lean in and listen, and hopefully the point will be clear when we get to the end. Here's what Corrie wrote. Once again, she's a little girl, and she's reflecting about a time when she was a little girl and telling the story. She said, I was following Mama and Nolly. Nolly was her older sister, up a dark, straight flight of stairs where cobwebs clutched at our hair and mice scuttled away ahead of us. We were going to see one of the many poor families in the neighborhood whom Mama had adopted. Mama was always cooking up, nourishing broths and porridges for forgotten old men and pale young mothers on days, that is, when she herself was strong enough to stand at the stove, because she was a pretty sick lady. And then it says this, the night before, a baby had died, and with a basket of her own fresh bread, Mama was making the prescribed call on the family. She toiled painfully up the railless stairs, stopping often for breath. At the top, a door opened in a single room that was obviously cooking, eating, and sleeping quarters all in one. Says there were already many visitors, most of them standing for a lack of chairs. Mama went at once to the young mother, but I stood frozen on the threshold. Just to the right of the door, so still in the homemade crib, was the baby. I stood staring at the tiny, unmoving form with my heart thudding strangely against my ribs. Nolly, always braver than I, stretched out her hand and touched the ivory white cheek of the baby. I longed to do it too, but hung back afraid. For a while, curiosity and terror struggled in me. At last, I put one finger on the small curled hand, and it was cold. And then she says this, y'all listen. She said, it was cold as we walked back home, cold as I washed for supper, cold even in the snug, gaslit dining room. The reason she says, because all she could think about was the way that baby felt when she touched her. And it says, for all the talk about death I had heard in my young life, death had only been a word. Now I knew that it could really happen, if to the baby, then to Mama, to Father, to Betsy, that's her other sister. It says, still shivering with that cold, I followed Nolly up to our room and crept into bed beside her. At last, we heard Father's footsteps winding up the stairs. It was the best moment in every day when he came up to tuck us in. We never fell asleep until he had arranged the blankets in a special way and laid his hand for a moment on each of our heads. And then we tried not to move, not even a toe. Here's the whole reading. I'm reading this. Y'all lean in. It says, but that night, as he stepped through the door, I burst in tears, saying, I need you. You can't die. You can't. Beside me on the bed, Nolly sat up and told her father, we went to see Mrs. Hogg today. Father sat down on the edge of the narrow bed. Corrie, he began gently, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket for the train? I sniffed a few times considering this. Well, just before we get on the train. Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we're going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time. Now here's what I'm wanting to sink in. There's a single statement right there where it says this, that fear tempts us to run ahead of God. Right? And it's in that moment when, once again, we're writing that story, we run ahead of God. Have you ever noticed, once again, that in that story, we always convince ourselves that for some reason, God's going to forsake us in our moment of need, right? But once again, that isn't true. And to her father's point, man, we have a God who loves us unconditionally, right? And who is more than capable of providing anything we need every step of the way. Once again, why? Because he is with us, right? So here's the trick, guys, truthfully. Like, I know faith is future, and I know fear is future, but there's something about trust that I'm just like trusting God where my feet are. Yeah. I'm going to be where I am, and I'm going to have faith for the future, but it has to stand on the foundation that I trust God's heart towards me. And because I trust him, I can walk in faith, right? Here's the third thing. Third thing Jesus gave us access to was a sound mind. Quinn, can you throw that? Yeah, thanks, man. Let's be honest about that list of fears right there. Have you ever noticed that behind every one of those fears is a lie, either about how God feels about us or kind of like what he is willing or unwilling to do for us? Like if you look, you go, okay, why do I fear like I'm going to be alone forever? Why am I afraid to surrender to him? Why am I afraid to commit? Why am I afraid to change? Why am I afraid of rejection? Like, why am I afraid? I'm telling you, there's a lie, if you track that thing, somewhere that you've believed about God. Okay? Y'all with me? So this might be really hard for us to believe, but it's true that we don't ever feel those emotions without thinking a thought first. Right? And when it comes to those fears, what happens is we think a lie, and then our emotions and our actions follow suit. It's no different than this. I mean, make it really practical. Have you ever been in an argument with someone that you love? They say something, right? And immediately you assume something that most of the time is a lie, and you meet them right where you think that they're going. Y'all ever done that? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Basically, they said something. I thought a thought that a lot of times is blown out of proportion or a lie, or I'm assuming something, my filter's messed up, and I automatically respond out of that filter. And then what happens is they come right back because now their lid's flipped. And have you ever noticed after a while you just start arguing about how you're arguing?
Yeah.
And you lose the point? Yeah. Here's the good news about this. The good news is this, is that our brains cannot hold on to two contradicting thought patterns simultaneously. Okay, that means, this is key, because God wired us this way. This means it is impossible for us to have a fearful thought pattern and a faith-filled thought pattern operating at the same time. Right? So this is not only the reason why, you know, once again, declarations and worship and praise and prayer are such a powerful weapon, because what that does is it shifts our mind from one train of thought, one way of thinking, right, to a faith-filled way of thinking. That's what happens in that, right? So that's one thing that happens, but we also have to understand this is one of the main reasons why God decided to give you and to give me at the moment of our salvation the thing called the mind of Christ, which is also known as a sound mind. Now, when you look at the Greek language, the word sound mind means this, because this is what we have in Jesus. It means safe thinking. Safe thinking. Boy, isn't that great? Look at what else it means. If you look at the Greek word, it describes a person who has good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make the right decisions. Let's read that again. It describes a person who has good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make the right decision. Have y'all ever noticed when and you're in fear and none of that's happening? You're thinking it ain't safe to you and it ain't safe to anybody else. Right? But here's what's so awesome is if you've ever been the type of person that knows what it's like to get lost in the presence of God, that you're hanging out with him, and man, you've just been in the thick of it, right? Hanging with Jesus. When you come out, I'm telling y'all, that's exactly how your mind's operating. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So I think this, the more that you and I grow, follow the train of thought here, the more that we grow in our revelation knowledge of the Bible, okay, the better that you and I will be equipped. Why? Because we're actually equipping our sound, safe mind, right? The quicker that you and I will be able to discern between the voice of faith, truth, and the voice of fear, lies. And if we can discern between them, then we can make a choice. Like, I'm hoping the older I get, the quicker I get at this, right? So listen, like when the enemy tries to come and to divide our minds, because that's what it is. We're faith, spirit-led people. The enemy lies because he tries to get our mind divided, and a double-minded man is good for nothing, right? So he tries to divide our mind through a lie. The goal is that when he comes and tries to do that, that we actually recognize it. And what happens, we begin to redirect our minds into a direction of faith at that moment. So listen to what 1 Peter 5:7 says. It says, casting all your cares. The word cares means things that divide your mind. Casting all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares about you. And then it says this, how does he care about you? With deep affection, watching over you very carefully. Good verse. So we ultimately, here's kind of the point, we'll be done. Watch this. The point is this, we ultimately displace, right, fear by replacing it, basically those toxic thoughts with God's thoughts. So it's why it's so important for us, once again, to identify the lies and replace them with the truth. So once again, like throw up the list for me one more time, Quinn. Yeah. So think about this, being alone. What's the truth? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Same thing with abandonment. As far as not being in control, it's understanding that God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives, and he's going to bring it to fruition. Surrender, we understand that, man, that there's joy in surrender, and that actually brings me closer to him. Commitment, same thing. Change, I understand that I can't grow if I don't change. Lack of money, I understand that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Rejections, I realize that he has basically looked for me, searched for me, and he knows me, right? Read Isaiah 41. So not measuring up. Well, if I'm walking with him, I'm going to measure up. If I'm walking with him, I'm not going to fail, right? So the point is, even if I die, guess what? Heaven ain't a bad option, right? And so to understand that every one of them, if that's a lie that I'm believing, then I need to go locate the truth, and I need to get put faith in the truth and not the lie. Amen. All right, let me give you kind of how it can simply be, okay? I'm going to tell you what I've been doing, okay? Because I'm human just like you, and I have to struggle with all this stuff just like you. I've just had to tell myself, when I recognize fear comes up, to go, he loves me. Right? It's settled at the cross. Fear comes up, to go, no, he's for me. He's with me. Quentin's got a good plan for your life. Quentin, he's working the best out in this situation. He's moving, right? So it's these simple redirecting statements that we make to try to get ourselves to operate from a faith-filled mind. And if we do that, here's what happens. Last verse, Isaiah 26:3 says, you'll keep him in perfect peace. Who's he do that for? Those who have kept their mind fixed on him. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Good news. Can y'all stand to your feet? Sarah, come here, please. Real quick, all eyes closed, please. Just by a show of hands, how many of you guys are like, man, I can at this moment identify a fear that I need victory over? Yeah, okay. Awesome. So let's have a moment with Jesus and we'll be done, okay? I am going to encourage you to do this, to go home. Sarah's going to pray, but I'm going to encourage you to go home and to get with the Lord and do what we talked about. Lord, give me the why. Give me the answer. Show me how this thing's messing with my life. Can we do that?
Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for freedom from fear. And I ask that as everyone leaves today, Lord, so many hands were raised, that you would reveal every area of fear, that you would begin to reveal the roots of it, and that you would begin to say, you can be free from this, and you would bring freedom to their lives. Lord, I pray for freedom from all fear, that we would agree with your word and we would stand in it and say, I want freedom and I want all fear to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your peace would transform their lives. Lord, that your peace would come in and replace these things, replace every spot of fear, that we would surrender and say, take it away. Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you that you love us and see us, and that you will walk with us and walk this out. Lord, let it be according to your word. Lord, I ask that today would be a day of peace and transformation, that this week would be a week of transformation. Have your way in us, Lord, and reveal our hearts. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for encouragement in your walk with God and to receive updates on events happening at The Anchor. Have a great week and God bless.